Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Of color, black and white, did not exist in our languages. We were Africans. The missionaries were sent in with specific instructions to make the Africans believe that everything African was bad and everything European was better and more desirable. They put in motion a process of making us dislike that which was ours and go out, all out, to embrace what the new invader was bringing to our beloved continent. I have to give it to them. They did a very good job at doing that. They hit us where it hurt the most, the mind. The missionaries taught us about white angels. The missionaries taught us about the devil who was black. The missionaries are white, like the angels. And that when we go to church, we must worship the white angels. And definitely want nothing to do with the black devil who looks like us. Subliminal messaging. Subliminal messaging. That's where we began the self-hate, the mistrust of each other, the lack of appreciation, an idea that is coming from your brother, an idea that is coming from your sister.
Talk 1380 WAOK. So that's our pulse check for this morning. I want to welcome Egberto Willis, author of It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, political blogger and radio show host for Politics Done Right on KPT 90.1 FM, and business owner. He describes himself as an ardent progressive who believes tolerance is essential. Welcome, Egberto. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's my pleasure to be on with you guys. Angela, thank you for the invite. And just one correction, KPFT 90.1 FM.
All right. Thank you so much for that correction. We want to make sure that people know how they can tune in to you. So what did you think about that video? Were you listening to that? Did you hear that?
Oh, I mean, she nails it, right? I mean, this is exactly how we are programmed. That's what the white patriarchy looks like. That's what it sounds like. And that's exactly what they do to program us. And in effect, the result that we had in that, that a person like Donald Trump, who is a buffoon, not intelligent, can actually win an election over a very competent person because of exactly what she spoke about.
Yeah. I thought so too. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this is like so spot on. It's just so spot on. So we started on Monday just featuring a couple of videos that we come across and just sharing them, just kind of just wanting to do a pulse check on America and just let people hear what other people are thinking about America and what's going on. Tell me, what do you think happened in this election? What do you think happened?
Okay, the first thing I need to come out and give a mea culpa to all the people who've listened to me and the writings that I've done, etc. I had it all wrong. I thought America had grown further. Look, I remember that. I know that Obama was a fluke, but I thought we had grown further away from sexism and racism. So I have to give a mea culpa. I thought she would have won. But let me deconstruct this a bit. The stalwarts of our democracy in America are black women and black men. Point blank. And to some extent now, Latino women. but everybody else has been co-opted by the patriarchy. When people talk about, well, you know, just maybe the economy was the issue, people use the economy as an excuse. This is the best economy in the world right now. Not for everybody, but in the aggregate, it's the best for the entire world right now, if we take all the numbers. So therefore, people were just looking for an excuse to have their most outer or most inner prejudices for them to vote for an inept, xenophobic, rapist, and we can continue the adjective.
Yes, we could. I'm with you. I don't think that she didn't win. Well, not really. I mean, I think that she did win, but like you said, it was outweighed by those on the other side or some inner workings that I think have yet to be revealed. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think that there was some kind of...
No, I don't. I don't want us to go there. In other words, I don't want us to go there and start to do what they did. He lost fair and square, but he never admitted it. He lost by 7 million votes in the popular vote, even as he won the... He won by losing... 3 million votes in 2016. In 2020, he lost by over 7 million votes. This time around, one of the issues that occurred is that enough people, there are two things that really occurred. If you take a look at the amount of folks that voted between this election and 2020, there's a big difference. Right now, we're down 15 million or so people that didn't vote. But that shouldn't have been the number that killed her. The number that killed her is that white women who will be suffering from these policies from Donald Trump couldn't get over that this was a black Asian woman. But as far as saying were the counts wrong, etc., look, it's really difficult the way the system works for you to really, because they're not connected to the internet or anything like that, right? It is not an easy thing to nationally, for what occurred to have occurred without somebody spilling the beans. That's my thought.
I don't know, Egberto. I'm going to say like Willie God.
I know, Egberto. Angela, let me tell you this. I don't want us to go where they go.
I hear that.
I don't want us to go where they go. They are an inept bunch. But we also had to show up. And we didn't show up. And when I say we, I'm talking about everybody who's progressive or everybody who needed to have voted Democratic. Mm-hmm. They didn't show up. Mm-hmm. Okay, their people showed. Look, I'm in Kingwood. I'm in a very red area, right? And these people were voting gangbusters. And I'm in line knowing that the guy in front of me and the guy behind me, I knew he was voting for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I saw the lines in Atlanta. I saw the lines in Pittsburgh. I saw the lines in Philadelphia. And they weren't what they were in 2020, we didn't have lines. We had voting by mail, you remember?
Right. Yes, I do.
Because of COVID.
Yes.
But so what I don't want people to do is to go out there and start thinking conspiracy, because I don't want us to be in the same boat with those fools.
Yes.
I don't want us to look like we can't accept reality. What we have to go out there and do is work. In other words, let me give a good example, okay? I love Kamala to death, but here's a big mistake. How much money did Kamala collect? $1.2 billion, okay? Now, Donald Trump and his team collected $300 million. Let me give another number. As it turns out, Elon Musk did some little raffling around for him, around the country, etc. But all of the Democratic money went to institutions. In other words, paid for television ads. Do you know a 20-year-old who watches television?
No, I don't.
Okay. it went to television. You know where the 20-year-olds and the 25-year-olds, what they're doing?
They're online. They're on social media.
They're on social media, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you are a great radio station in Atlanta. We have a great radio station here in Houston. Here's the kicker. Did any of these Kamala people, during your fund drive, did any of them put a whole lot of online ads with your website, within your podcast, within your on-air radio? I know at KPFT we got zero. But the guys who make $10,000 a month or $25,000 a month who are consultants, they got a ton of money. So we have to understand that it's not we, the people, that created this problem, but it's the people that ran the Biden administration's campaign. All these guys, they didn't look at the grassroots to get the people out. They just went and did things the way they did it back in the olden days. And we got the olden days result.
We did. So we got to go to break. We'll be right back. I got some callers who are just dying to talk to you, Egberto.
Oh, my God.
They are just dying to talk to you. As soon as you came on, the phone just boom, lit up.
All right.
So hold on. We'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We are back with our conversation with Egberto Willis, host of Politics Done Right. And Egberto, as promised, I got a couple of callers who'd like to speak with you, starting with RJ in Atlanta. RJ.
Hi, RJ.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I was just going to say a couple of things. As far as with them losing the election, as I said last week when I called 1380 on that Friday, I forgot who was on that. But anyway, do y'all think that it could have been because, like you said, the American people really just tired of what the Democrats has been really bringing to the table? I mean, I hear everybody saying it is because she's a woman, it's because of all kind of other stuff. But you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm telling you now, if the Democrats keep going the way they're going, they're going to lose people like me also who have been voting Democrat forever. I'm not going to keep doing that, and a lot of people are not going to keep doing it. Now, y'all, they can make up any excuse they want to. They can say whatever they want to. It was rigged, whatever. But it's not going. They're going to find out. They're going to keep going the same way, trying to make excuses for the fact that people just didn't like her policies, allowing illegal immigrants to come in here, giving them all the money that people who are from here can't even get. It don't make any sense. Transgender stuff that's being forced on our kids, it don't make any sense. I don't understand even how the churches can supposed to be so religious, and yet they're going along with certain things dealing with homosexuality or transgender stuff. It don't make any sense. And American people just tired of it. They thought by everybody running in there voting early, it was going to be in her favor. That just was not the case. People not going to allow you. It's just like you open up your house and let everybody come in there and live for free who just come from anywhere. It don't make sense. If it's against the law for companies to hire people who are illegal, it should have been against the law. Biden them broke the law, allowing people to come in here illegally, giving them free benefits and funding. Look at Chicago, New York, all these places have been going through hell because of this is being allowed by the Democrat administration. So people just tired of it. Now, y'all can say anything you want to, any excuse we can come up with, but I'm telling you, they're going to keep losing. They keep going that route.
Okay, let me answer you first, sir. But Angela,
yes,
I want you to. I hope you listen to what that young man has to say.
Yes,
and that is how effective the Trump message was.
Mm-hmm.
What he said was completely wrong, mm-hmm. entirely wrong. But he believes what he just said, and I don't have anything but respect from the caller that just said that. And where the Democrats failed, they failed in messaging to tell the truth. Let's talk about each. Well, would you like me to answer each of
yes.
these points independently?
Yes.
Point number one on immigration. First of all, if we take all the monies, first of all, immigrants don't come over here and get money from the government willy-dilly like Trump advertised. That is not what happens. What happens is we are part of the international community, and if people come over here seeking asylum by international law, we are responsible for figuring out if there is a legitimate claim for said asylum. Now, that takes time because we don't have a bill that says, let's go ahead and expedite these issues so we know if we ought to deport that person quickly or not. If we can't deport them quickly, we have to house them. We have to feed them. Now, the reality is nobody in America should be unfed, unhoused, or any of those issues, but the policies of the Republicans create those possibilities. Under the Biden administration, what actually occurred is we dropped poverty in half because of policy. Policies that were ripped up 2 years after he came into office by the same administration that is going into power in 2025. So the things that that young man spoke about, it's the same. If he voted for Trump, he voted for the institution of those policies that ensure these poor people remain poor, stay poor, or get poor. So that is on the economic part. As far as the economic situation in the country, the economic situation in the country was caused by the guy he elected because of what they did with COVID. And again, the Democrats are poor communicators. Let's give an example. Oh, and you can interrupt me if you have to, Angela, if I'm going a bit too
windy. Oh, no, go ahead.
But COVID, all right? Before COVID, we've had potential pandemics before COVID. But guess what? When we had the Obama administration, Obama heard that Ebola was about to come. Obama heard that E1N1 was supposed to come. Instead of sitting and putting his tail between his leg, he ran to Africa. He ran to Indonesia. He sent people to these places so that we could arrest the disease before it metastasized in a country that then could spread like COVID did. We could have done the same thing with COVID. If Trump had jumped on the bandwagon and said, I am going to go into Eon, China, and make sure and help those folks so that this stuff doesn't spread and come over here. If when it initially came to Washington State and New York, if he had said, we'll institute quarantines immediately, the spread would have been mitigated. But we didn't do that. By the spread occurring, it killed the economy. By killing the economy, it affected the mainstream, the system of transferring goods. That system of transferring goods, when that broke down, it caused shortages. When you got shortages, you got inflation. So therefore, directly created by the policies of Trump, who is now going to be placed back into power. Now, how did Biden handle that? Better than any country in the world. Mm-hmm. Because our inflation is now at 2.1%, lower than it was when Trump was in office. The employment rate, lower than it was when Trump was in office. None of that is widely distributed as Trump's message went through social media and every other media mechanism. So, again, I'm saying everything the young man spoke about there was, he's an honest guy. He only knows what he reads and he says and he hears, but he's wrong.
Yeah.
Now, the part that is debatable now are the issues with transgender and a woman's control of her own body.
Mm-hmm.
To men, I tell them this: control your own damn body.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like abortion, or you don't want your daughter or your family to have an abortion or whatever, then you run your household the way you want to run your household. Nobody is stopping you from doing that. But damn it, you don't try to tell a woman or another person what they're supposed to do. You don't.
Amen to that.
And when it comes to trans, what does that matter to you? The only thing trans are saying is, leave me to hell alone.
Yeah.
Let me live my life. What does that, and ministers, I don't want to hear from the pastors and the ministers. The biggest sex scandals in this country occurs in the church, not outside of the church. The most evil that has occurred in this country, the wars that have occurred. So there are good Christians out there. I commend them, but I don't want to hear anything about why is the church doing this or why isn't the church doing that? Because the institution that has caused the most trouble right now that we've had in this country, you want to know where your kids are in most danger? We did some stats on this. Your kids are not in danger because of a trans or a homosexual person. Your kids in danger because of a darn pastor. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you so much for that. So, whew, you said a mouthful, and I definitely see, I see and I can agree with what you were saying, definitely. So that's why I wanted you to continue, because I definitely was agreeing with what you were saying. So I'm wondering, though, what do you see as the most dangerous aspect of a Trump second administration?
The destruction of the administrative state. In other words, when Trump leaves in 4 years, look, he's going to mess up, okay? He's going to mess up and people are going to turn against him. Let me give an example. Do you remember in 2008, during that election between McCain and Obama, and Bush had really messed the economy up. His rate was down to 38%, okay? Now, people wanted to get rid of him. I tell you how I knew a black man finally could get through. They were doing, Bush destroyed the faith in the Republican Party. A canvasser was in I think it was Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And this guy, the canvasser went up to the woman that was at the door and said, "Who are you voting for?" They're canvassing for Obama. And the person, the woman, I don't know why she thought she had to do this, but she went ahead and she shouted to her husband, "Honey, who are we voting for?" And the husband goes back and he shouts back, "Oh, tell them we're voting for the N guy." I don't want to use the word.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word on your station.
Yeah.
But you understand.
Yes, I do understand.
Guy. This guy is a racist. He's a sexist. But the economy is so bad. It is so bad that he was going to go against his own personal racism and sexism to vote for the black guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, the economy was not bad enough. Things were not bad enough for those white women who went with their own internal racism and sense of patriarchy to say, I am going to vote for the black Asian woman.
Yeah. Sadly.
That's what this country has gone to.
Wow. All right. We'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WALK. We are back on the WALK Morning Show, and we have our guest, Egberto Willis, with us, host of Politics Done Right. And we have another caller for you, Egberto. We have Michelle in Atlanta.
Hi, Michelle. Yes.
Hi, how are you? I'm enjoying your comments, and I totally 100% agree with you. I think at first I was thinking in the area of the election was stolen, but I don't think so. I think it was misinformation. And misinformation, let me tell you, I canvassed for a long time. I gave to Act Blue. I did everything I could in my power. I went out and talked to young boys. I was wondering, where are the people that are actually on the campaign that are doing this, that are getting paid for this? Because the things that I was hearing that these young black men were believing, and some black women, and they were so angry at this administration, Biden's administration, for things that are not implemented into our communities, it's just unbelievable. Where were they? Were they in the barbershops, which I was? Were they in the hood? Did they go to the rural areas and try to get some of these people in the rural areas? They only get their information from Fox News. This was misinformation. I'm not scared about what's going to happen because I know it's going to be treacherous. But what I am afraid of is how are we going to fight it? Because let me tell you, we have the power, the people, and I'm not just talking about black people. We have the power, but we don't have the money. So now we're confronted with someone, Elon Musk, and Bill, all the people in the Project 25, you know, that supported Clarence Thomas with these lavish gifts, who also supports Cornel West, and somebody needs to look into that. He's on there talking about Gaza and all this stuff. You know, he helped him also win, and nobody's pointing that out either. we need to look into all this of this. How are we going to fight this? Because when you have money, you have power. You have power to spew out these misinformations. You have you can buy off people, the news channels and everything. 26 states, there's a Republican that owns the news channels. These people are told, because they need a job, what they can report and what they can't. How are we going to fight this? We have the power, but we don't have the money, you know. And as far as the churches and everything, why are they? I agree with you. You need to be scared of what's going on in the churches, you know. Those are, I mean, look at some of our leaders in the churches who have been found, you know, liable and guilty of what they've done to some of our young black boys. And I'm not to even mention the priests and all. And you know, look at how we're being attacked now. So I don't think I don't think today we are like our leaders and our ancestors back in during the Jim Crow rights and stuff. Who's going to step up and protect these people that they're going to come after? Like Keisha in New York, like Fannie Willis, you know, all Michelle Obama. Who's going to be here to stand up and march for that? Are we going to put our money in places that is going to matter so we can fight them? Are we going to support our leaders? Are we just going to turn our back and keep blaming everybody? I always felt like black people, I really think this is a reckoning, to be honest with you, because something has to change to bring our people together. Because we're so, you know, the elites got this, you know, and then people are suffering down here. You know, I can be in a car and see a homeless man out on the street. Millions of cars pass by. It seems like I'm the only one raising my window down to give money. You know, when is the compassion going to be for those less privileged than we are? Are we going to stick together? Are we going to come together finally? Because they're coming after us.
Yes, you know? They are.
They're coming after us.
They are. Let's get Egberto to respond to you, Michelle. Thank you so much for calling and for listening.
I love what Michelle had to say, and I love Michelle's passion, because that is what's going to take. Michelle's basic answer is that she knows the solution, but the problem is that we don't have the money. And I just want to correct one thing, Michelle. We have the money. We're just giving it to the wrong people. The fact that Kamala picked up so many millions of dollars, $5, $10, $20 at a time, means that we have the money. The problem about it is direction and how do we spend it. And I hope what this loss does with the Democratic Party is it stops us from giving to the Democratic establishment and start giving to the progressive establishment. And who is the progressive establishment? It's sparse. It's larger, but sparse. It's all over the place. And with the, you know, a station like WAOK, a program like this, that gives us the opportunity to have this discussion, that people in the car can hear a discussion unencumbered by the plutocracy, the oligarchy. When Angela talks to you, she's talking to you from experience and the heart. This is a program that needs supporting. We have to be selective in who and what we support. I write blogs and I do Substacks, and my whole income stream to be able to do this is over the internet and people subscribing and supporting. We have to support people like that, because you're not going to get the correct information or messaging from the mainstream. And why not? Because you stated it, Michelle.
Yeah,
they need their job. They have to toe the line. I don't have to toe a line. Angela doesn't have to toe a line. We can tell the truth. Right?
That's
so
it.
We have to be honest. And we are also have to accept the responsibility for not doing our job entirely. And the words that you spoke on this air would have convinced a lot of people there is a problem with the establishment Democratic Party. And I hope my words would convince others to stop giving to establishment and start providing to the people, Angela, the me's of the world, those of us that are really trying to do the right thing to inform our people. That guy that called first, great guy,
but completely disinformed, not uninformed, disinformed, because what he was informed with was on truths that he thought were truths.
Yeah.
And that is what we have to be careful of.
He's about to find out, that's for sure. Real, real fast. So I want to get your opinion when we come back on the other side of this break, Egberto. Are you concerned that we might be turning into an authoritarian type government with Trump? Do you believe that that's what he is setting himself up for? I want you to answer that for me on the other side. We'll be right back. News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. So I asked you a question right before the break, Egberto, but before you answer that question, can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you? So we just had someone who wanted to know how she can get in touch with you and how she can support you. So can you give us that?
Okay. Oh, absolutely. If you go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter, politicsdoneright.com/newsletter, that's the entry into all the different things that we do. And you can support that way if you so desire as well. politicsdoneright.com/newsletter.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. So what are your thoughts about Trump trying to move to an authoritative style government?
Let me just thank you, Angela, because that is the number one question. Let me just say, we are already a soft authoritarian state. Let me give an example. I promote our messaging, the kind of messaging that supports us all on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, everywhere. But because our main sources of the internet is controlled by a few billionaires, they can shut me down. Let me give an example. A few years back, I said something that they didn't like about our system. And somehow my channel was blocked. And as my channel was blocked, it meant my income stream from videos went to zero. Why did I call it soft authoritarian? Because while they didn't come and arrest me, what they did is they prevented me from making income on that particular channel. And that is the current way things run. That is why our brother that called earlier was ill-informed. Because, again, the Trump messaging was allowed to go over all these networks freely, while our messaging, it takes a little bit more effort to get to that amount of people. The other thing, and I wrote about this at my newsletter, what Trump did is something Obama did, which made Obama quite successful, and that meant targeting, online targeting. As an example, let me give you the perfect example. Kamala is a black Asian woman married to a Jewish man. The way she was advertised by Trump to the Palestinian community was a woman married to a Jewish man who hates, to the Palestinians, she's married to a Jewish man who hates Palestinians, so she hates you. So that was inculcated and direct message to those people from the Trump campaign. At the same time, the Trump campaign was sending these messages directed to Jews saying that, look, Kamala is like all those other leftists who are there just to support Gaza, those terrorists, no context whatsoever. So she got hit on all sides for who she was, completely misrepresented, but actually it did its job. You notice this young man that called earlier, he was talking about Gaza and all of that. How many people in the community do you know really is concerned about Middle East policy? What Trump did was planted that seed into the minds of many who otherwise would not have been there.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. We have another caller for you, Willie in Mableton. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning. Good morning to you and your guests here. Hey, listen, this guy here needs to be the leader of Kamala's a campaign headquarters. He is so on point with what he's telling. I'm hoping that people will listen now. We needed him, his voice, 2 years ago. But I know he keep addressing that first caller, which I was going to do too, because that first caller is misinformed. But you cannot tell them. You cannot tell them. You can tell them that, but they're not going to hear you. There's an old saying that you can't. That some people can't see the forest for the trees. We got a nation full of those people right now. But this guy here nailed that guy to the cross. I don't need to really go into no more detail about what. But in my opinion, the Republicans were in control of this inflation we've been going through. They were in control of all the transgender issue. They control all that. And as long as they are able to get a certain segment of people, I hear some people say, well, yeah, I heard that, but I don't believe that. But you got some people to do, and they worked on those people that they can feed that to. Those are the people that either didn't go vote or they went to vote and they voted for Trump because they thought transgender issues was going to solve our problems. The Republicans are not going to solve these problems, but they'll pin that problem on you if you don't solve it and then say, because you didn't solve the problem, you must be part of the problem. And you got people swallow that. Well, like I said, I'm listening. I'm just enjoying what he's saying because we needed him a long time ago. And if people will start, if there's a way that we can listen at him more, it's gonna be our benefit.
Well, that is quite a compliment. How do you feel about that, Egberto?
I am honored, and let me tell and this is Angela. Anytime you want me, you know I'm here to be on your program.
Well,
but
thank you.
I think we all have to start doing a whole lot more collaboration because here's the problem. It's all of us in the grassroots, all of us that are independent. We are the ones who have to work together to make the change because everybody else is bought. Everybody else is owned. And until we do that, you know, and we've started doing it, it's just that it's not a process that's going to take place in a year or two. You build. The Republican machine wasn't built in a year. It took them 50 years. Hear me out here. It took 50 years for them to kill the codification of Roe v. Wade. It took them 50 years it took them almost 50 years to get rid of affirmative action again, which they've done practically, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So they were patient. They just bit at it. Now we have to grow back up again.
Yeah.
And the way to do it is you have to look, and people out there, I don't know, those of you in the know, you are responsible, all of us, myself, Angela, everybody, we are responsible as the church. I'm not a church guy, I'm a humanist, but my wife is a deacon, all right? We have to be our brother's keeper. And those of us that, I wrote this book called It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relative Friends and Neighbors. And the reason I did that is to say we don't need to hate on those people that voted for Trump. We don't need to hate on those people that are or did these things. Because if you know somebody sick in the mind, you treat them differently than if they're just bad. And what happens right now is America is sick in the mind. Yeah. And it's something that those of us that are still sane have to find a way to help them out of.
Well, thank you so much for that. We'll have one more call because we're almost out of time, but we have Roy from Houston. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. Guest, my sister Angela and my guest from out of Houston. I'm out of Houston myself, and I love this station, which I listen to call them practically every day or most time when I do. So, brother, good to hear from you, and I'm definitely going to follow you out of Houston because I know there are two radio stations we have in Houston. One is, like you mentioned, KTSU. We can't really elaborate on that station. I think they're bought by the Republicans, and the other one they have. It's kind of, I love a couple guys on there, Micah Harris and Perry
right.
Haley. But, you know, the other guys, you know, I feel that station disrespects a lot of people. So when I make comments, I feel disrespected by callers. And they're not intimidating me, but it puts fear in people that, you know, in our life. But I like you, my brother. This is the reason why I called is that two things. I see they gambling now, make bet odds with politics. Is that legal? And another thing is that I look at the area that Kamala has. Okay, I think that she did a great run. And I, like I told them, people mostly get in late, never win. But I think she ran a great election. So I think that we can really, I think she could win on the next occasion, but we need to have a strategy like you say Republicans have. And I think that one is that the areas that people are so misinformed, I know each one person who voted or one person who didn't vote are ill-informed. And like you're saying that, I've got to talk to guys, they say some things about abortion, they, the people who call it, well, I can say Christian, I am a Christian, those of us who are in church are misinformed, but the preachers have, you know, they do preach different things, like you said. But I'm going to be long. I know time is essence.
Yeah, we got to go. Wrap it up, Roy, because we got to go.
I'm done. And, brother, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, thank Roy. You got a quick moment to respond to anything he said, Egberto?
No. I think I love what he had to say. We just have to work together. We got to plan, and we got to keep in touch. All of us in the progressive space, we have to do it to move forward.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being our guest. Just like before, we have loved having you here, and I'll definitely be giving you a call back.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.